it's hard to believe that it's already the 6th of January, 2013. Oh my, what we have been through with our changes, our attainments, our hopes, expectations, and realizations. It's just amazing what we have grown into this last year and what challenges and opportunities the world and nature have provided for us. So we stand in awe of the greatness of God's creation today. And we remember that this is His day. This is the day we have set aside as the Sabbath to appreciate our relationship, our personal relationship with the Creator. There is so much we try to do for ourselves in life. We try to do for others, or we hope that others will do for us. And as a community of friends, it is really commendable how much we do for one another. But sometimes, in our effort to either do for others, receive from others, or do for ourselves, we lose touch of the fact that we are an endpoint creation of billions of years of God's handiwork. And how could we possibly be an endpoint of creation without also being a receptacle of His love? And it's important that we take a moment or two. I think this is the real purpose of the Sabbath, is to set aside all illusions of worldly satisfaction or worldly accomplishment that we think we need or we think we need to have, and just be grateful for the fact that we are, and that within that formula of being who we are is the very presence of the Creator, and we are the created. As the final words of Yeshua, as He left, He said, He gave His final benediction to what would be a historic communication. I didn't realize that I would write it someday, but it was a historic communication. And His final words were, "And you are my beloved." And this is what God, the Creator, would say to each one of us if we would simply listen and simply receive. And I think one of the reasons we have practiced the admonition to be quiet and to be silent and not to engage in worldly activity on the Sabbath is because so much of that activity is all about expressing ourselves, whether it's expressing in joy or grief or sadness or anger or doubt or anguish or desperation to survive. We're expressing ourselves. And the important thing on this day is actually to just be quiet and listen. As the scripture said, "Be still and know that I'm God." And be still and know that you are an endpoint of God's creation, an ultimate place of infilling that can receive and reflect, be grateful, and actually have a capacity to understand. And so this blessing that is given by Christ through the Holy Spirit, anchored between heaven and earth, is an opportunity for us to be still, to listen, to allow ourselves to be open and receive. And I think that is the very nature and spirit of the Sabbath, which is why we choose to do this on Sundays. And the blessing is powerful any time we receive it as a personal assist or as an offering to the world. But it takes on a special meaning on this day. And that's really what I was called to speak with you about. And that is the attitude of peace, stillness, gratitude, and listening that allows us to be reunited in a personal way with the very force and power that called us into being. And that is an incredibly special thing to contemplate and to take into our life and to use to nourish our life for the remaining week or all the remaining days of our life. I'm glad that someone signed on. We do have a call, and it is from area code 321, and you're on.
Oh, good afternoon. There's a proverb that I really like. It says, become wise, dear child, and make me happy. So I was hoping you might enjoy speaking about making Heavenly Father happy.
Well, I think that in a way is exactly what I've been speaking of. Our Heavenly Father doesn't expect us to keep all of our attention on Him. He knows that we, like children, are engaged in having an experience most of the time. And our life is meant to discover what we can do for ourselves and what we can do for others or one another. But it makes God happy that we set aside time each week on the Sabbath and on other times when we simply push aside all other influences and forces and say, oh God, I am with you. Teach me. Teach me your wisdom. Teach me your love. I am so grateful to have this opportunity to be with you and stand in awe of your presence. When when Solomon was a young man and he was realizing the awesome responsibility that he was going to be given to be the leader of his people, he was having frequent prayers with God and having a great many self-doubts, which was actually appropriate for Solomon in his youth as he was learning to be both a leader and to be humbled in wisdom that he would need. And God spoke to him, and he said, Solomon, of all the things you could seek of me, what would you most want? And Solomon could have answered anything. He could have said, worldly wealth, I would like a large army, I would like obedient people, I would like good laws, I would like prosperity for the people. He could have gone endlessly. He could have said, and I want many children, which, of course, eventually he was blessed with. But all he asked for is, he said, I want wisdom to govern your people. God was so touched by that he gave Solomon everything else he could have asked for. And I think that when we first ask for wisdom, we are instinctively taken to God. Because let's face it, we don't go to the university to learn wisdom. We go there to learn knowledge and to sharpen our wits and gain information and perhaps gain the appropriate license to conduct our profession. But we don't really go there to gain wisdom. Perhaps if a person has just earned a law degree or a medical degree or a nursing degree, then in their internship, moving out into service, they may ask for wisdom. But I don't think that's what they're asking for at the university. They're asking for skill and expertise and knowledge. But when it comes to human responsibility, that always takes us into the heart of God. When Yeshua was with me, for example, he gave me more knowledge than I could ever deal with. It was so much more than I knew what to do with. I simply put aside all of my notes, boxed them up, and tucked that away in the attic for 4 years because I didn't feel I had the responsibility to use it. And that responsibility came about through over the years, in those 4 years, I would be led to be in front of people to explain my experience with the appearance of Yeshua and the painting. And each time I would go to the head table or the pulpit or wherever I was speaking from, I would say a prayer to God. Please be with me and grant me your wisdom on how to speak to these people. After 4 years of praying my prayer for wisdom, then I had the strength to present the information. And I think this is a pretty true parable for all of us, because we all learn through our experiences or through our study or just through one another. We find all this data on the internet, and it's really too much for any one person to assimilate. And we wonder, what in the world will I ever do with, you know, we get to the point where enough is enough of information, and what we want is wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a different level of understanding that we can only gain in relationship to God. And the seeking of the wisdom makes God happy. Because in seeking wisdom, God knows that we will do all things in our life more appropriately, with more love, with more care, with more stewardship, and with more honor than we would without wisdom. So in my personal experience, that's how I would respond.
I'm hoping to meet with a couple people in my area. I've got an appointment on Wednesday.
Oh, good.
And I really want to grow. There's approximately 8 ways listed for being welcomed in Heavenly Father's presence. And community, I think, is the one I could stand the most progress in.
Okay.
I'm really praying for a good experience to meet with a couple people in my area.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And pray for wisdom before you go.
Okay.
Praying for wisdom always makes God happy, and He will accompany you in all of your ways.
Okay.
And you will be happier. And everyone around you will be happier.
I'd like that.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your comment and your question. I think it was really beneficial for anyone. And I'm sure we all are striving in one way or another to know God better. Is anyone else wanting to talk? We have a little space today to speak before we move to our blessing. I like to start the blessing on the 30-minute mark because a lot of people around the world tune in empathically and spiritually because they don't have a telephone available, or perhaps it would be too costly for them to call in from Bangladesh or South Africa or Queensland, Australia or Tokyo. And we do have people all over the world who share these blessings, and I thought that might be a pleasure to you just to know that you are part of a worldwide community that will be here. And there's something about receiving that is amplified in numbers, just as giving is amplified in numbers, just as prayer is amplified in numbers. Yeshua said, whenever two or more are joined in my name, I will be there. But he didn't say join for what purpose. It could be joined to play soccer. It could be joined to pray for the community or a crisis situation or to pray for joy or rain or to celebrate someone's birthday or simply to be in receivership of God's blessing. So as we receive together, the receivership is actually greatly amplified. We have a caller, area code 218, I believe, and it looks like it's maybe international?
No, this is Jerome.
Oh, Jerome, hi.
Happy New Year, blessings and love to you.
Happy New Year to you, dear one.
Listen, I was just reading about the Essenes, and the message 2,000 years ago is that we are brothers and sisters to love one another, and now, after 2,000 years, the message is we are not only that. We are one with each other, and we are one consciousness together, and we can love one another as ourselves. And I just thought, wow, what a great way, and you do that so well.
Oh, thank you, Jerome, and so do you. It's such a, it's always the spirit of joy when you speak up.
Thank you.
you there are some people who actually have a smile in their voice.
Well, you help us all, Glenda, so I just am so grateful for gratitude that you send out and that we can receive, and I smile every time I hear you, so thank you very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. And Jerome, without going into detail in a public mode, I hope you're doing better.
Yes, it's much better, much better, much better, much better. And it's been a fantastic experience to connect to my source at another level, so I can heal and I can gain from the experience. It was my lesson to learn something, and I did.
Oh, wonderful. And isn't it amazing how anything can become a miracle if we allow God's presence to teach us and if we listen?
Yes, yes, to listen, to ask and to listen. And you know, the Native Americans said there's a red road, and I found out what that meant was they ask spirit to help them, and then they listen along the red road for the answer. And so the natives have done that, you know, for thousands of years, and we get to do it too with them. And you are doing
absolutely
well.
Absolutely, we do. And what we get so busy talking and telling God what we want, we forget to ask and listen.
Right on. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well,
and you know, there really is nothing to fear.
Correct. Yeah.
Because God is with us, and so is the whole of our human collective soul.
Is it ever? Is it ever?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, and thank you again. Always, always.
Always, always. And be in joy.
I will. You too.
Okay, thank you. And we have another caller from area code 727.
Hi, Glenda. It's Eve from Florida.
Hello, Eve. How are you?
How are you today?
I'm doing terrific.
I have a question for you. Some of us are put on this earth to help children. Other people are put here to help the elderly. As you know, my thing is animals.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering why they just seem to show up. Whatever state I live in, it's like they just show up. And I keep getting this intuitive sense that I'm supposed to be doing something with animal-assisted therapy and pet prisoner program, like bring animals into the prison system. So can you speak about that a little bit?
Well, I can tell you this, that your work with animals is definitely a calling. You know, there's some things in life we do because we've got lessons to learn. Some things we do because we want to acquire skills. And then some things we just kind of get into because it was the best option available to us. But you are very blessed to have experienced from early on in your life that this is really a calling. Now, what does it mean to have a calling? Well, to have a calling means you were literally created to facilitate a certain purpose. And then God creates us to facilitate certain purposes. And within that purpose, though, God does not take away our ability to refine that purpose personally and to still have free will. So inside that calling for you to be an animal whisperer, an animal caregiver, an animal steward, there are many ways you could personally express that. And so I think what you're really facing is how do you put together the fact that this calling has carried you like a tsunami over and over and over again into many different expressions of that calling, and yet it won't be complete until you make some choices. because God never overrides our free will about it. So the next step is kind of up to you, and it's up to you to refine what this means to you, how you think your life could be most valuable, and how you would like to look back on your life when you're 80 and sitting in a rocking chair with a cat in your lap, mm-hmm. and really expressing gratitude and reflection for all the experiences you've had. And some part of this has to involve your choice. And only you can make those choices, Eve. But you definitely have a choice. Now, I'll give you a comparison. When I was 3 years old, I told my mother that I was, not that I was going to be an artist, but that I was an artist. And she was kind of thrown back on her heels. And she said, well, what would you like to do with that? And I just said, well, I just want my Crayolas. I want to paint. So she encouraged me to paint. But she also had in the library a book of old master paintings. I went and got that book, and I asked Mom if that could be my book. And from that point on, I was interested in old master paintings. But then I also got interested in music, in dance, in poetry, in piano. I got spread all over the board on I am an artist. And I was an artist in every form. But some things I found I couldn't do as well as others. My ankles and arches weren't strong enough for me to really be a good, sustained dancer. My finger reach wasn't good enough to be a total artistic pianist. I could do ordinary piano pretty nicely, you know. I could play for the local church, but not to be an artistic pianist. My voice was really angelic, but it wasn't strong enough to do really. I could have done a Crystal Gayle number, but I would have been, you know, I could have been country western. But that, to me, wasn't artistry. And as it turns out, life refined for me where my greatest love was that coincided with my greatest ability. And even then, after I went to college, I vacillated because it wasn't all making sense for me, and I had had some discouragement, so I went into art history. And then I went into museum curatorship, and then I went into teaching art at the university. Then I went back to painting, and it was pretty much that after then, until the time I painted Yeshua. And that painting just blew me out of the roof. And after that, I became a teacher. But what do I most do as a teacher? I actually do it artistically. I think most people who reflect on Love Without End is, they say, well, I've read this wisdom 1,000 times from the Old Testament and other teachers, but I've never seen it put together like this before. Someone said, you put Yeshua's words together like a Beethoven symphony. Mm-hmm. And I really got it. And then now I'm back to painting again. So the calling has been to be an artist. But how I express it, well, I've been all over the board. And sometimes I'm sensitive to what others need. Sometimes I'm sensitive to what I do best. And then sometimes I really just surrender to God's will pouring through me. And I say, thy will be done, not mine. And so, Eve, I know that you have been all over the board doing what you do. Mm-hmm. And so I can really have not just compassion but empathy for how you're moving around all over the board. But I would say just put a little more focus on what you do best and what needs to be done the most intensely. And then let God amp it up for you. You just need to have a little more focus, a little more emphasis, and a little more appreciation for the importance of what you do.
Okay,
and it will also be coming together for you.
Okay, not to interrupt, but that right there is key, because I remember growing up, a couple of things happened. High school guidance counselor, I told him very clearly, of course this was a number of years ago, I wanted to go to vet school. I wanted to be a veterinarian.
Mm-hmm.
And he he just looked at me and said, oh, no, women don't go to vet school, and just totally shut me down. So I wonder if since that point I've just been sort of having an attitude about how somebody, or maybe it was a gift, who knows. And then the other thing is, I was told that animals don't have a soul, so that what I was doing was less important than maybe what somebody else was doing in a hospital for humans, et cetera. So that's some subconscious stuff that's going on.
Well, Eve, if you want to do some in-depth counseling with me, I'll be glad to set up a session with you.
Thank you.
That's something that you could go in-depth on for sure. One of the things you might want to do is go and get Larry's psychogenesis program, because you could do a lot of clearing in your life of incidents like that. And I had similar incidents like that discouraging me from being an artist, because I wasn't trendy when I was in college. And professors would say, well, you'll just never make it in the artistic world, the direction it's going in, and other incidents. But the thing is, my calling was always bigger than the discouragement. And that's the important thing for you to acknowledge, is God has called you to this. And that's important enough.
That I hear that. Thank you so much.
Yes. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, Eve, I'm sure that others can relate to your sense of calling combined with confusion, as many of us have shared in our life. Refining that calling into a purpose we know is important that we can focus on. And since no one else has chosen to come on board, I think I will just wrap this up myself, and then we'll move into our meditation. But I think that the real key from the beginning of my opening words to you, all the way through the questions today and into our closing, is the power of just surrendering, especially on this day to Sabbath, and listening to the voice of God. Allowing God to tell us from inside ourself, from the presence of love within, from the power of the Spirit within, and the Holy Spirit bathing us in renewal and cleansing, to confirm our holy presence with Him and our creation to be here in some manner according to His will, and to discover what that is, not just in general, but in its many, many applications. There could have been each one of us have a general orientation to life, and then that general orientation takes on extra purpose as we cultivate abilities and discover aptitudes and interests in our life. And then we have callings into relationships, whether it's marriage or children or careers or community or other types of relationships with nature, or extreme sense of connection with the environment, or critical events. Those are all relationships that are a refinement of who we are as love in relation to what is needed in the world, and in relation to the experiences we seek and the attainments we hope to achieve. All of this is about our relationship to the basis of our creation. But in order to really expedite that, we need to listen. We talk too much and listen too little. So now has come our time for listening with one another, together. And in our listening, we will just be quiet, be seated, shoes and socks off, feet on the ground, ready to receive the energy and the anchoring of our earth, who is God's great receptacle of life energy, who outpours it to all of her beloved life forms, receiving the Holy Spirit that is the presence of God, the Creator, coming into conscious form that can be with us and guide us and infill us, can heal us and direct us and bring us into our wisdom. In our hearts, we discover the one who chose to be like us, perfect in all ways, in love, and yet perfectly human, to be here and show us the way, to keep us on the way. And in our humility and in our surrender, in our listening, to give us a glimpse of the Holy Father, the one who created us, who truly is our Father, our parent, our mother, our source. So now I would ask that you be in your heart and pray the prayer of your heart in whatever way is right for you. If it's in silence, then be in silence. If it's with words, then express your words silently or aloud. However you are, pardon me, however you are in your heart, be there now. Yeshua, we thank you for being with us, showing us that even though we walk a human path, and we have our foibles and our misdemeanors and sometimes our serious omissions and offenses, we still are a child of God, and God is in us. Love is in us, and love is who we are. Illuminate us to this higher possibility that we may unfold this higher possibility in all aspects of our life, in our community, sharing with one another, and receiving from others as well. We thank you for this gift of understanding and your gift of courage and patience with us and supplying our needs when we forget to ask. And now we submit our prayers to your loving care, that they be submitted to the Holy Spirit and the Almighty Father, that we may be blessed and loved and fulfilled, healed, assured, and strengthened in our faith, that we may be illuminated and all may be revealed that we need to know and understand. Amen. gift of the energy is complete. Now you will finish your blessing quietly by lying down and assimilating. In this time, don't think. Just receive, be still, and know the presence of God within you. Be blessed and know how loved you are. And I look forward to being with you again next week.